What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind.
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hi, guys.
It's all happening.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Let's see.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me do the hacky move of give it up for yourselves for sticking around. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Get some energy in this bitch. Let's go.
Man. Oh, my gosh.
This is the closest I've gotten to a really good school, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I went to a fucking party school. So this is like legit that I'm even here.
Hey, at least you have a degree.
Yeah, there we go.
Just kidding. I went to the school of hard knocks. I have a question. Are you guys getting are you getting credit for being here right now? Are you serious? This is the most LA thing ever. They're like, oh, we had our podcast class in a bar and we call our teacher by his first name. Like, this is just the worst. Oh my God. Every one of my classes were in classrooms. This is bullshit.
Oh, dude, yeah. I wish I had a class like this. This is incredible.
I know, every
semester. I would try to graduate with just this class on my transcript.
I know, I'm jealous.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you guys are really fucking cream of the crop right now. This is a nice time to be alive, children.
Boom. Should we tell them
are
we
recording?
Are and stuff?
I don't even
I'm
know.
Not really sure, but if you guys have
we're
never
recording?
If
we
you've
are?
Never heard Self-Helpless, we're three type A comedians who dive into a different topic of self-help or self-improvement every episode, and we just talk about it very openly and talk about if we love it, if we think it's absolute bullshit,
yeah,
and go from there.
Sometimes we're divided. Some of us think it's great and others think we're out of our mind, and it's lots of fun. Can you guys make some noise if you've listened to Self-Helpless at all?
Shut up! Cool.
Was it homework?
Yeah. I think they get extra credit for that shit.
Count.
That is extra credit.
That's awesome. So you guys know what we do on the
cool.
show a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the thing we're going to talk about, like our main topic this episode, is going to be imposter syndrome. Have you guys heard about imposter syndrome a little bit? A little familiar? I feel like you just even saying that this is like the closest you've been to a nice school is imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I should not be here.
Yeah, you're having it right now. But we're going to kick it off with some of our segments. So we always start with a quotable. We do one of our favorite quotes.
We love a good quote, you guys.
We
a
sure
good
do.
Quote really just gets us going.
We are some basic ass white girls.
So
yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Our text chain is just like screenshots from Instagram with quotes attributed to no one, and we're like, "Who unknown is fucking killing it?"
Yeah. Oh, so good. I found this one on an Instagram account.
Of course you did.
Called "Change Your Perception." It's not accredited to anybody. It says you often feel tired, not because you've done too much, but because you've done too little of what sparks a light in you.
Ooh.
Oh, just came.
I just
that was flip
the table.
So good.
Can you read that one more time?
Yeah.
I just want to feel that.
Feel it hard, you guys. Here we go. You often feel tired, not because you've done too much, but because you've done too little of what sparks a light in you. This speaks so true to me, because if anybody has had a job they dislike or just been anywhere that they didn't like, I could sit at a desk job all day and come home exhausted and think, I didn't really do shit today. But I just mentally wasn't there. I wasn't excited about anything I was doing. Yeah. So I just feel tired and blah. And
I just got a little bit closer to death today.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
Exactly. Just waiting around to die. That's exactly how I feel in my life. It's like you feel so alive and so energized when you're doing something that you love and enjoy and that you're passionate about. You could be working on it for 16 straight hours and still feel great at the end of it.
Yeah.
Good.
That's a great one.
That's a good one.
Do we want to do a treat yourself?
Oh, please do. Who's got a treat yourself?
I got a treat yourself. So my treat yourself is that for the last 2 weeks, I've been washing my face with only honey. I don't know if anybody else has heard of this. I've heard of this for years. I thought it was complete horseshit that people are like, oh, it's medicinal and it's like antibacterial and you'll just have glowing skin. And I'm like, this is only for like British Instagram models who are like born with dolphin skin on their face.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, well, I've had cystic acne since I was like 10 and giant pores. This will not work for me. But Delaney on a recent episode.
I'm a real hippie bitch, you guys. Yeah. So I suggested it.
Yeah. Delaney made a garbage wash for her face. It literally had like old cucumber, like, you know, like if you
first an exfoliant. I mean, it's good shit.
That is, you're a raccoon. That's
it
disgusting.
Smells like a sewer.
You're a possum. So anyway, I took the one part of your face wash, which was just honey.
Sure.
Because I've been meeting people who had glowing, beautiful skin, and I was like, what are you doing? And they said, just wash your face with honey. So I've been doing it now for like 3 weeks. I swear to God, it's the best my skin has ever been. I have not had like a deep, actual, like, pop a pimple, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Just been like little things, and so I fucking highly recommend it. It's like $3 at Trader Joe's. It'll change your life.
I don't know. I still have not tried this. Has anyone tried the honey thing?
No.
Not one person? Okay, so no one here can verify. You all have perfect skin anyway.
I know, look at that.
It'll all go away, all right? We're in a bar right now surrounded by black and white photos of people moments before their first DUI. I have not tried it because to me, honey seems like the main ingredient in cystic acne. It does. It just sounds like Instagram influencer bullshit.
I know.
And the fact that the two of the people that I trust more than anyone in the world have tried it, but I still don't believe. So I'll have to do it. I've also bought a good amount of like expensive face wash, and I feel like I have to finish it.
I know. Oh, I did the same thing.
Yeah. I don't let that shit go to waste or give it away.
I know. Sure. I'm interested in the science of that.
Absolutely.
But I really do think, give it a shot. If you're struggling with skin stuff, give honey a shot.
I have a question though. A, do you think you'll ever go back to like real face wash, or you think you're gonna stay on the honey train?
If shit goes awry, I mean, if I start looking like fucking Pigpen from Charlie Brown, and I just got dirt and sticky shit on my
face. Second thing, do you think your skin feels so good and looks so good because of the honey, or just because you're not putting chemicals on your face anymore?
I don't know.
Like,
right?
If you were doing nothing, it might be good. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. What if you were just like putting a wet washcloth on it before bed and calling it a night? And
that's
maybe that does the same shit.
It's like the whole chicken and the egg thing. You know, I think I like grew up too fast. I wanted to start using like those like oxy pads, and I think I fucked my skin up before it was even fucked up. And now I just had to keep up with it, you know?
When you put the honey on your face, do you have to just wear like a tiny red t-shirt and no pants like Winnie the Pooh to make it work?
Just Pooh Bear.
She's in a red shirt right now.
I know. I was like Pooh Bear right now.
Wouldn't it be so great if I was just fucking nude, just bare ass on this
chair? That's what I picture. I mean, it's censored in my mind because I respect you, but that's what I picture, is just you kind of like reaching into a honey pot with no pants on, just like, babe, it's working.
It is a fucking nightmare for like your home, because you get sticky shit all over your counter. The honey residue runs down your arm.
Disgusting.
And so you'll get it off your face and your hands, but then you'll just like lean on a counter 30 minutes later, and then you'll just be stuck.
And just Kane has to live next to you after you do all this.
Whatever. He's a fucking nasty man.
This just sounds like the first step in becoming like, did you ever read that book, My Side of the Mountain? in school? No.
You're so like you're such an old lady. What you know, is that?
I read it in
my
fifth grade.
Side of the
Who
mountain.
Who else read My Side of the Mountain?
Okay.
Not one
person. One person.
Wow.
Who's
okay. Thank
in the
you very much
shamed.
For being here. Extra credit. Double credit. Sim winked at me. Said it's fine.
Graduating
follow up later.
Early.
You are a thousand years old. That
they
is...
read it in fifth grade. I'm actually younger. It probably my generation. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, don't look for excuses.
I'm all alone.
I think you had a self-careless moment this week, right?
I had a self-careless moment. So I moved yesterday. And
into my apartment building.
Into her apartment building, because I'm very codependent. and once I got there, I was like, oh, I have to get everything done today. Like, I was like, everything's coming. Most people leave, like, you know, boxes in their hallways for, like, you know, 3 months or something.
Right,
and they're
just
like, oh, I'll just get that shit when I need it. And for me, it just felt like, if I don't get this all done by midnight... I will die. Like, I was up to like 3 a.m. with my just wonderful boyfriend who was just like painting shelves with me. He's just like, does this
good man, but
like, we need to do it right now.
That is the sign of a psychopath, is that they painted the day they moved in. Who the fuck does that? Like, fucking take
a lot.
I bought the paint. Not only had I bought the paint, I tracked the paint down like a week and a half ago in Vegas on the road.
Oh.
I got the sample color. Then I decided, fuck it, I'm just gonna get the gallon. And then I didn't even know if we were allowed to paint. I was like, I have a vision and it's going to happen.
You picked the paint color before you went to like the store?
Yeah.
You like, wow.
No. I went to the store. There was a guy there and I was just looking at swatches and he goes, well, what do you need? And I said, everything. And I'm the type of person where like, if you look like you know what you're doing, if you have good posture and you're like, you should get this, I'm like, sold. Yeah. Thank you very much. I would love that. What is it? A Prius from 2020? Great. When will that come in the mail? I just like totally trusted this dude and he hooked me up with this color that is Bears, B-E-R-H, not your honey thing. Bears color of the year is Blueprint, and it worked out famously.
Oh my
no regrets.
Lord. That is
and my
so
apartment's
funny.
Painted now.
So you have everything done. You're done in one day.
Pretty much. I gotta hang some stuff. We did have some stuff delivered today, so it's almost finished. But like, you guys would come see it right now. They tried to see my apartment before we came here, and I was like,
it did not go
it's
well.
Not finished. I only have one plant.
Oh my
and
God.
But I looked at it, I was like, oh, if you guys saw this, you'd be like, oh, it's done. But to me, I'm just like, there's so much more to do.
Jesus.
We have to wait 5 weeks before the paint is fully dried to hang paintings.
Oh my God. You know how they're like some people move in and they just like leave a box for 3 months?
Yeah.
I just did that between moves where like the last time I moved, I just didn't unpack certain boxes. And then I just moved again a month ago. I was like, I guess I'm just going to keep moving these boxes. I'll just fucking never unpack them. Oh, that's man. Where these go.
That's efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, simple.
Should I get
Yeah, what do
my...
you have? Yeah,
Dude,
you had
I got,
some stuff.
I got some shit. I have a defuck moment.
Yeah.
So before I became a really creepy minimalist and got rid of my car, I'm carless now. I tried to get a new title for my car because I thought, oh, I'm going to sell it in like the right way and try to get as much money for it. But then I just gave it to some guy for $600 and he just took off. So that was way better, way more fun, way more convenient. So I sent in the mail, I sent all my paperwork to the DMV with like $20 cash. And 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks maybe, I got the paperwork back and they had taken the cash and said that they couldn't help me out.
What?
So they stole $20 from me and then just basically said, ah, fuck you, we don't know how to help you.
Wait, what? you sent cash in the
mail? I know,
mail?
I should have just sent a check of some kind, I'm sure, but it's all I had on me at the time, and I figured, oh, let's just get this. No, somebody stole my $20 at the fucking DMV. Headquarters! DMV headquarters!
You know
Fuck
what?
You guys! So then I just gave my car to some dude that I found on Craigslist.
For once, I don't feel bad for you, because I don't know what year you think this is, but if you put fucking cash in an envelope and trust the people at the DMV with it, you deserve to lose that $20.
Wait, I have a question.
I thought it would be better.
Did you fold the money in a piece of paper?
Yeah, I hit
it. Oh, okay.
I hit the money. It went straight to corporate, because they sent it back. So I'm like...
somebody high up on the fucking food chain stole my money.
Yeah, someone had a nice lunch at Applebee's.
I know, son of a bitch. So that was my, don't trust the DMV.
That's on you.
Just sell your car to Carlos. I have his phone number if you're interested.
He has $600 and a plucky attitude. He will take it off your hands.
Dude, no joke. My car was not even starting, and this guy was able to crawl in the back of my Prius and somehow find his secret button and then just went flying out of my garage. Never seen him since.
Secret button? So he hotwired your car?
He hotwired my car somehow, but whatever. It was easy. I, so far, no problems. I mean, it hasn't like turned up with like, you know, my vehicle identification number, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. It's probably in some kind of, you know, junkyard somewhere.
I've always loved that Delaney's been like, I'm a great minimalist. I got rid of my car. I feel so good. And then like, as soon as she got rid of it, we were getting texts, Taylor and I all the time, like, hey, can you come pick me up? I'm like, okay, well, this is a tremendous burden on us now, but I'm glad that you're doing well. Great.
I love it. I'm saving so much money.
God, you're living your best life.
Yeah, I am.
Where's my gas money?
I had a good shit moment.
Yes. Yes.
Good,
oh, I want to hear
shit
about
moments this week. So I just started at BetterHelp.com. I don't know if anybody has used this. It's a great therapy app. And so I talked to a therapist on the phone instead of showing up in person. They happen to be our sponsor, but that's not why I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, BetterHelp.com/self-helpless. Anyway, so...
seamless.
This is seamless.
This is my fourth session. I love her. I think she's fantastic. And I really got into like all my food issues.
Okay.
I'm a bad binge eater. You guys, I like go hard. I used to have 3 to 4 bagels a day, and that was just like my snack in between real meals. So I've done a lot of work on myself. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but now I've gotten it down to like 2 bagels a week, if that. Like, I'm doing pretty good.
Kelsey and I haven't seen a bagel since we were like 12.
And didn't even know they're still making them.
So I, you know, I have some food like compulsive issues with food, and definitely an addiction that I'm working on. And my therapist asked me a simple question and said, "Do you enjoy having that food identity, like that people know that you can eat a lot or whatever?
Does and that not gain any weight?
Does that make you feel good, like being around people?" And nobody's ever asked me that before from an identity standpoint.
Yeah.
And I just said, holy shit. Yeah. Like, it makes me feel more comfortable around people. Oh. And then we went real deep and figured out why, basically. So I grew up with a very voluptuous family. Everybody's got big titties, asses, the whole shebang. Lovely ladies. And I was always just like a celery stick, you know, walking around, no curves. And they hearing things like real women have curves and all those things when you're growing up, and like it was like I couldn't be part of their club. It was a really weird thing. And you know, they would like say things joking at me like, oh, you know, you skinny bitch, or like you're lucky bitch. And then I felt like I was just kind of an outsider. And so I think it's deep rooted in trying to like fit in even with my own family. Like, you know, some of them have like eating issues and stuff like that, but it was me kind of trying to just like be part of the group. Obviously now I just like love food just in of itself, but I think that's a big root of it. And I just think for me in my head, I don't know, I guess it had always made me more likable to be able to eat a lot, to be like one of the guys, whatever it is. And I had no fucking clue that it was like ran that far deep.
That's part of your identity.
And then she said, well, why, do you want to eat healthy? Like, what's kind of holding you back? And I'm like, I feel like I don't want to be that girl at a party that's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm doing low carb right now. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be that bitch.
I brought my own hummus. I need to wash my face with honey in the sink.
Exactly. Fuck. I don't want to be Kelsey. No,
I don't like that. Whores. I am not even like that.
No, you're not like that. You did have raw almonds on the way here for dinner.
You
but...
ate my almonds. You take avocados on planes.
That's true. That's good fact.
Don't listen. Don't trust even your friends. Trust nobody.
Yeah. Don't want to be like these two people. No, but I realize that I feel like a burden, or I feel uncool when I'm picky about what I'm eating, even though it's good for my body and my health and my mental well-being. And so she asked, when people are eating healthy around you, do you feel like they're annoying or a burden, or you feel negatively about them? And I said, no, I feel like they have discipline and they give a shit about their health.
Yeah.
And she's like, boom. That's what people think about you.
She said boom?
She was like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit.
I would love it if my therapist was like, boom.
Boom, bitch. Yeah. That's what you said. Quote. Yeah.
I hadn't, in like about whatever, we've been friends now for 2 years. Yeah. I hadn't really seen your food stuff in action until last weekend when we were in Phoenix.
Oh, man.
And we went to a Mexican restaurant and there wasn't a table ready yet. So they were like, you can go sit at the bar, order an appetizer, and then we'll let you know when your table's ready. So we've been like waiting for this table. We're super excited. We ordered chips and guac, and they gave us like a lot of chips and guac. So maybe halfway through, I was like, okay, I don't want to have any more, else I'm not going to be able to eat my meal.
Yeah.
They called our table. I go to our table. I look behind me. Delaney's not there. I can't. I'm like, where the fuck is she? Why isn't she coming to the table with me? I look over at the bar. She, like, it's like her last meal. She is taking the little crumbs of tortilla chips and scraping out every morcel of the guacamole and like licking her fingers. I was like, what is happening?
Dude, that was good guacamole though. Like, to be fair, that shit was delicious.
I know, but I just like, yeah. That was the first time I was like, whoa, like almost like you couldn't let it go to waste.
That's at home behavior.
You felt.
No man left behind when it comes to food for me.
Yeah, 100%. To me, it was like you had given the food an identity. Like, the food had feelings, and if you left it, like, that you were being mean to the food.
I gotta finish Rachel.
So much things. And I've also talked about growing up with, like, you know, a mom who's dealt with weight issues and stuff. I told you as a kid, I would overeat or eat the last of anything so she couldn't eat it, to help her not gain weight and get more unhealthy. We talked about that too. She's like, yeah, there's a lot going on with the food stuff. So anyway, that was like a big aha moment that it's become like a huge part of my identity, that I can like, I can out eat any dude in this fucking bar. Yeah. You know, it just like, I don't know, just made me feel like I fit in better.
Well, who doesn't want to be that like cool chick from whatever movie who's like, yeah, let's just get pizza and bang and then eat more pizza. Yeah. You know, like everyone wants to be that, but you can't because you'll break out.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have food allergies. Like, I'm never going to
from the pepperoni or sex, you'll never know.
There you go.
You did both in one night, right? And that was irresponsible.
Anyway, should we get into the meat?
Yeah, let's get into it. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. So again, round of applause. Who's familiar with imposter syndrome?
All right.
Few people. Nice.
Okay, cool. All right, so for anyone who didn't clap or doesn't know or is listening at home going, why are they talking to a crowd that we can't hear? imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. So, again, we're all comedians. We've talked about this extensively on past episodes and on different subjects. But like, just feeling like no matter how many things you accomplish, how many people tell you you're doing a good job, how many people validate you, you are never going to be good enough or deserving to be in a powerful position in your field.
Right.
There are studies that, or there was a study, I should say. I shouldn't say studies. but it was identified in 1978 by psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes. And in their paper, they theorized that women were uniquely affected by imposter syndrome.
Of course we are. We got all this shit.
Yeah. I mean, later they were like, just kidding, it's everybody. But it makes sense that it's mostly women because, it's the world we live in.
Yeah, I think it's kind of growing up feeling like, you know, I feel like we, in a lot of ways, have to work twice as hard to get the same amount of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with that in, you know, professional settings and stuff. I just think it's kind of like the way that we're raised, like, you know, hey, sit quiet, be ladylike, let them have the attention or whatever it might be. Kind of, I don't know. That's how I feel. Maybe why women are more affected.
Yeah. You're just always apologizing. I feel like as women, you're like always apologizing for just being anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Even like when you get something, like Kelsey and I have talked about this, like headlining on the road as a comic is, you know, obviously if you don't know, it's when you do the whole weekend and you do an hour and there are someone opening for you and featuring for you. And when we go do that as, you know, young 20 something women, there's usually a 40 something dude featuring for us looking at us like, why are you doing longer than I am. And it's hard not to go, dude, I know. Do you want to just do it? Because I would rather you do it than feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you are the voice in my head all the time.
Right.
You know, because we just have this thing in us that can't own our own success and be like, no, I've earned this. I've been on this show or that show. I've done this amount of time on stage or with any job, really. Just I've interned. I worked my way up the ladder. I did this. There's just always a part of you that's going, this was a fluke. Yeah. I shouldn't have gotten this. They're going to figure it out at some point.
It's so much self-hatred.
Yes.
It's such a bummer. I think a lot of us, I know I have a big fear of like anybody ever perceiving me as like cocky or arrogant. Mm. And I'm neither of those things, but that's always like, God, what if I ever said something that came off that way and somebody thought that of me? So I feel like you keep yourself down and like kind of, you know, squash yourself so that you never, ever have a possibility of looking like that.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're afraid of other people seeing you as a fake, and so you have to see yourself that way all the time to kind of head it off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the same way that you make fun of your looks as a comic or something because you don't want anyone else to think it before you. You're like, oh, yeah. We're all in on the joke. We all know I don't deserve to be here. Like, it's
right.
Fine. It's fine. It's
yeah,
fine.
The first feeling I get when anything good happens to me, and it could be anything, personal, professional, is like maybe a couple seconds of excitement and then immediate guilt and anxiety that I'm not good enough for this. I must be fooling them somehow. They must be wrong about me. You know, I don't deserve it, whatever it might be. Any career goal that I've hit or any kind of, you know, opportunity has always been like, there's so many people out there that deserve this over me.
Yes.
And which could be true, but I have to talk myself into stuff sometimes like, well, even if there are people that are better than you or funnier or, you know, more suited for this thing, they picked you. You happen to be the person that was there or whatever that
right.
they liked. But I'm constantly having to talk myself into being okay with getting good things or, you know, good things happening.
I think I had a weird version of imposter syndrome in my therapy this week. I go to like an actual in-person therapist as opposed to the app, which I do really want to
try the app.
Which
is an actual therapist.
I feel
they
like
just have an iPhone.
Yeah, I know.
Kelsey sees someone with a flip phone.
Yes.
And the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. And I told her, I've been seeing this woman for a couple years now, and I told her at the end of it that sometimes I get uncomfortable in therapy because I'm uncomfortable with talking the whole time.
Mm.
Because that's like the only relationship you have with somebody where you are supposed to take up the majority of the conversation. And to me, I feel like I'm being rude and self-centered. Like I feel like halfway through I should be like, so tell me what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Tell me how your life, which you can't do in therapy. Like, they're not supposed to talk to you about personal things.
Yeah.
And she's like, why do you feel that way? Like, where do you think that comes from? And I was like, well, number one, I just feel like it's impolite. Like, I'm hogging the conversation. And she's like, okay, well, that's like, we've talked about that's from your dad who like put a lot of pressure on you to be super polite. And I was like, whoa, yeah. And
boom.
And, boom, yeah. And I don't know if it's something that I'm going to ever get comfortable with, but I feel like there's some kind of imposter stuff there where it's like, I don't deserve to just have this space that like I'm paying for.
Yeah.
That's designed to be like this. It's like, no, but she's still a person and I should totally share this time with her and not like hog it.
Yeah.
You know, which is so fucked up. It's like, well, where does it end? This is therapy. This is where you're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Cause as a girl growing up, they're like, you kind of are raised to take care of other people.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I think a little bit more than guys are. Or were when we were younger. Times are a changing.
Dude, I get imposter syndrome just walking around my apartment sometimes, just like being like in my life.
Yes.
Just like looking around like, wow, this is like a really good day. I have a great relationship. I love my job. I love where I live. This is all going to come crashing down because I don't deserve any of this shit. Like this seems too good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm watching kind of my life happen instead of like being really present for it because I'm like, wow, somebody's going to find out that this is not for me. They're going to take it away. And I'm, you know, it's just, it's a weird, like, out-of-body experience sometimes.
That's such a good point, because I do feel like I have experienced imposter syndrome in, like, all of my relationships, too. Especially the one I'm in now, because I'm very happy. And during, like, just any time. I mean, even this week I was feeling it, where I was just like, okay, why do I always feel like this is going to go away, or this is a trick or something? Or this right. is a trap, or I'm just wrong, or there's got to be something wrong with this person that they... like right. me this much. And then other times I'm like, I'm the greatest thing that has ever happened to this dude, you know, like right. you get into that space. I looked up celebrities imposter syndrome, because I don't know about you guys, but if I suffer from something, I want to know that celebrities are dealing with it also.
Oh yeah.
Do you have eczema? Megan Fox does. I don't know if that's true. Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
Probably not.
She looks real
smooth. She looks perfect.
Yeah. She looks perfect. But it would make me feel better if she did.
Yeah.
But I found this time. It was on Time. You can look it up. And the first quote, it's quotes from celebrities who suffer from imposter syndrome. And Tina Fey had a really good one. She said, the beauty of the imposter syndrome is that you vacillate between extreme egomania and a complete feeling of, oh God, they're on to me, I'm a fraud. So
that's what you just said.
That's what I just said, because I read this quote right before we got here in the car.
So you cheated.
Which is why I'm referencing it now. So you just try to ride the egomania when it comes and enjoy it, and then slide through the idea of fraud. And when I read this in the car on the way here, I'm very prepared. Everybody do this when you start a podcast. I was just like, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I feel, because I've never heard anyone put it that way, where I was like, well, I don't feel worthless all the time. Sometimes right. I feel like I almost said worthful, and that's not a word.
Oh, I wish it was now. We're adding it to the list.
Whew, call me Shakespeare. But sometimes I just feel so high on, like, me. I'm like, I did it! But it's so
smoked
fleeting.
A big bowl of Taylor.
So just, yep, and then it's so quick, and then it's gone, and I'm like, oh, you are a fake, and yeah. you better take that mask off. But yeah, those moments where you're feeling like, whoo, like that feels great, doesn't it? And it's probably just your personality getting sick of feeling like a fraud, and so it just like really bounces back yeah. at you. It's like, we're gonna feel great for 20 minutes, you yeah. dumb bitch.
Can you guys think of the moment that you felt like the biggest imposter in your own life? Can you think of that?
Oh.
Is there one that's kind of stands out?
Right now, I'm like, I don't deserve to be podcasting in this bar. Like, yeah. I haven't earned this, and maybe someday I will, but, you know, just got to keep showing up every day, guys.
Maybe, I've been feeling it a little bit when we moved into our new place recently.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a pretty big one, because, like, you wake up every day in yeah. it, and you continue to feel it. If you hadn't heard before on the podcast, for the last like 4 years, my fiance and I had been living in like a shithole with nothing, like not a good situation. But we were like, well, it's cheap, so we'll stay here. And we finally got to a place where, like, you know what? The podcast is doing well. Like, let's upgrade. We can upgrade. And every day I've woken up and been like, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve it. Like, even though financially, we can afford it and it's fine, and it's not a fucking palace, but it's just, it's better. Like, it has a dishwasher.
Woo!
So like,
you know, splurging.
But even then, I'm like, you know, I washed my dishes by hand for 4 years. Like, who the fuck am I? Who do I think I am that I can't keep just washing them by hand?
Yeah.
Like, I should
yeah.
just save money and not live in a place
Dude,
with a dishwasher.
I've been feeling that a lot about my new business. I have a gag gift business called Dicks by Delaney. I make penis portraits. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
Delaney's a treasure.
But, you know.
The best thing is listening to Delaney describe this to people, by the way. We have had meetings with executives, and she has to go in and go, I run a specialty dishware company where I draw pictures.
I draw penises on mugs. That's what I do for a living. But
they're very cute. Look at Dicks by Delaney on Instagram. All the people on your phones, look at it right now.
So sweet. But I'm getting paid to make art, technically. I mean, it's art, even though it's a dick.
It's art. Say it's art.
Yeah. People send pictures of their like loved ones or favorite person, and I make them into like a little penis character.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has gone
as you do when you love somebody.
So yeah. So, when I send off a mug, I feel like who am I to get paid for my art? Like, I'm not a real artist. There are people creating beautiful murals somewhere who aren't getting paid a nickel for their time and their art.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here I am painting a dick on.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
On a mug and I paying my rent? Like, this is bull. Like, I don't feel worthy of it, even though I'm not, like, forcing people. Like, I'm not holding a gun to their head and say, buy my dicks. But, like, they're just buying.
Have you thought about trying that?
Oh, man. That'll be my marketing strategy. But they're buying them willingly. I should be happy that that's happening and happy to give them out. But part of me is like, yeah, I know people in my life who are incredible artists, way better than I will ever be. And they're not making money doing it. And so I feel like I compare myself a lot. And if you kind of get into that comparing, rhythm, I guess, that can also affect the whole imposter syndrome thing too. But then again, it's like they're not pursuing art for a career. Yeah. So it's not like I just did it. If they just did something, maybe that would lead, to them monetizing in that way too. But I can't help but feel really guilty and really unworthy that I'm getting to make something that I love for a living.
There's so much. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say there's so much imposter syndrome, I think, tied up with finances and people's relationship to money and how they see their worth in terms of dollars and like what that means and like how they live, what their lifestyle is, how they think they deserve to get money and have it. Yeah, I think there's so much with money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just to be clear, when I was nodding, when you were saying, and other people are such, like, way better artists, I wasn't agreeing with you that other people are way better artists. No, I was relating to what
you
were saying.
Stay in the lines, Delaney, you know what I mean? Jesus.
Yeah, I've also been feeling that way. I'm pretty good at drawing a dick, as it turns out. I was relating to that because, like, I was talking about earlier in terms of, like, my career and, like, headlining or, you know, Kelsey and I both did the Tonight Show around the same time. And whenever you get those opportunities, you can think of a whole group of people who are pursuing the same thing, actually. In a lot of, like, with comedy, there's so many people who are so good and are trying so hard. And it's just not, the industry is just not interested with any sort of entertainment. With podcasts, too, you're going to look at people who have podcasts and go, my podcast is way better than that podcast. Why is that one, you know, higher on the charts or whatever?
Yeah, because they're a Vine star.
Because they're a Vine star.
That'll always be the answer.
And you know what?
Them's the bricks.
They deserve those listeners because Vine's not even a thing anymore. And to be a star on Vine in this Vineless world is incredible.
Oh, 100%. So, amazing.
But I mean, it's truly like frustrating because you almost feel like you can never be happy because there's always going to be people less like what you perceive to be less talented or less deserving than you, and there's always going to be people who are more talented and more deserving than you, and it's all super subjective.
Yeah.
And the industry does not care at all, and a lot of it is luck and a lot of it is just really hard work all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of just learn to quiet those voices in your head that are telling you that you maybe you did luck into it, but that are telling you only lucked into it, you know?
Yeah.
It has to be a combination. You have to go, yeah, you know what? I got lucky. I got this thing. And I'm going to rise to the occasion and be the most of it. So, and make the most of it so that I can feel good about where I'm at and the fact that I got this opportunity. Because if you squander opportunities, that's when you're really a fraud.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Taylor, where's this coming from?
Mic drop.
God. Applause break.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
That wasn't even a Tina Fey quote.
That was all inside you.
That came from... Oh, another one from this article. Meryl Streep was number two. She said, you think, why would anyone want to see me again in a movie? And I don't know how to act anyway, so why am I doing this? If Meryl Streep feels
Holy
that way...
Shit.
Oh, Lord.
What hope is there for the rest
of
us?
Wow.
I ask you.
I have a good little quote. I think I shared it once on the podcast before. I remember reading, this was like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, Cosmopolitan interviewed Amy Schumer, and she talked about that for a long time when she would like audition for something or try and get booked on a show and she wouldn't get it, she would be like, yeah, why me? Like why would I get that? But then something happened with her where her mindset just totally switched, and she's like, you know what? Why not me? Like, why the fuck wouldn't I get it? Like, I'm talented, I'm ready for this. And she said that she felt like, I think she said that more things started to happen for her because it was just like that energy and feeling like, you know what? No, I do want this.
Yeah.
Because I still feel, I know there's a lot of times where I audition and I walk away and I just, maybe it's trying to protect myself from maybe being told no, but I'm like, you know, I'm not even like right for this role. So if I don't hear from them, whatever. But deep down, I think if I could embrace that and be like, you know what? I am right for this role. Oh, they wouldn't have asked me to audition if I wasn't. So
Yeah. No, any kind of stand up credit I've ever gotten, I have never felt like I deserved it because I never whole assed stand up. I never went full time. I never wanted to go in that far. And then I would get stuff and think, oh my God, this other person is sleeping on somebody's floor, devoting every minute of their life to this. Like, I should not have this at all. Mm-hmm. I think that's been a big one with stand-up for me, is just never feeling like I actually fit into that world because I never really committed
wanted.
To it.
So interesting.
I want to talk about this other thing that I found, which I thought was really interesting. So there's an article that I found. You can look it up. It's on Fast Company. It's called The 5 Types of Imposter Syndrome and How to Beat Them. There are 5 types. Can you believe that? 5.
I mean, we have all 5, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Yeah. So number 1 is the perfectionist.
Heyo. Yep.
That's all 3 of us.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, how many people are perfectionists, would you say?
Look,
everyone in the podcast class. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Most people just start a podcast. Did you know that? You guys are taking a goddamn class.
Oh, my God.
Because you're like, I got to know exactly how to buy a mic.
Oh my God.
I would do the same thing. This is amazing.
Oh, man.
For this type, success is rarely satisfying because they believe they could have done even better.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But that's neither productive or healthy. Owning and celebrating achievements is essential if you want to avoid burnout, find contentment, and cultivate self-confidence. Yeah, so this is great. Learn to take your mistakes in stride, viewing them as a natural part of your process.
I just don't, like, I logically know that, but I think, like, a golem, like, lives inside me that's just like, no! Like, you must suffer! Like, you must hate yourself to be better. Like, that's truly how I feel.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like, if you want to be better, why celebrate what you did? You should pick it apart so that you can figure out what you did wrong and then improve that. You can't just be like, oh, I guess I did good, so I'll go take a nap. Like,
right.
And you know why? Because all the documentaries they make about, like, famous people who made a big difference were all like, they're like, they really hated themselves. And you're like, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
You never see a documentary where they're like, yeah, I mean, Bob Dylan was just, like, real happy to be alive. All the time. He just woke up every morning like, where's my guitar?
Right.
There's a God.
Yeah, it's the glorifying the starving artist. There's, like, this weird, like, kind of glory from it, or
it's kind of cool to hate yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like socially, you want to be around that person more than the guy that's like, I'm a fucking gem. You're like, get the fuck out of here, Gary. No one likes you.
Right.
Like, you don't want to be around somebody that's, like, real happy about themselves. It's more fun to, like, complain with other people.
Yeah. I want to be around people who are self-assured. In a very just quiet, measured way.
Quiet confidence.
Yes, which I think you have.
Me?
A lot.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
I just like, just
I think Kelsey
sitting
and
here.
I run. I think Kelsey and I run more hot and cold, where we're like, we nailed it, or we're like, oh, what happened?
And for you, I gotta quit.
Yeah. And for you, Delaney, I just feel like you're always kind of like, Yeah, no, this is me.
Like, I'm okay?
I'm pretty good.
Do I, like, walk like I have a big dick or something?
Yeah.
Like, I walk in a
big dick stride.
She's fine. You know, like, she's all right. I take that as a compliment. Thank you. A lot going on in the inside.
I've seen
but
you beat yourself up before, though.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
you're more quiet about it. We are, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Walking birds.
We are. We're open wounds.
Yeah.
And then number two, the second type was the superwoman / man. Since people who experience this phenomenon are convinced they're phonies among real deal colleagues, they often push themselves to work harder and harder to measure up.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Oh,
this is like a workaholic thing.
Yeah.
I felt that one.
Imposter workaholics.
Oh, shit.
You're actually addicted to the validation that comes from working.
Ooh.
Ooh, that hurts.
Gross. That hurt real bad.
Oof, right
I felt that
chest.
In my lady parts. Real deep.
Tingle in the bottom lips, huh?
That is so funny.
Oh, shit.
The bottom lips. That's gross.
whatever.
The third type. It was great. It was genius. But the third type is the natural genius. People who struggle with this, who are also natural geniuses, judge success based on their abilities as opposed to their efforts. In other words, if they have to work hard at something, they assume they must be bad at it. Ooh, I've had friends like this where they're just naturally really good at like school or music.
Yeah.
And then when they're not good at something, they're like, oh, I just don't do that thing anymore.
Oh, okay.
That's not a thing I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they never like branch out and like build up to something.
Yeah. Or if you're like, oh, I took Spanish for a semester and I suck and I can't roll my R's. It's like, well, I guess I just don't speak Spanish.
Oh.
We kind of talked about that with like playing Jeopardy, that if it's like, you know, like a history category, we're like, well, I guess I'll just leave this party because I can't.
I will never know that answer. I will never know history or geography. I'm a fucking moron. I'll be honest. Like, I shouldn't be involved in any kind of political conversation. I just slowly back away.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're like, I just would rather like not know any, like I don't even want to be involved with it because I can't get even into it a little bit. So just count me out.
Right.
Like just forever I won't know.
You've probably picked up some good stuff from watching Jeopardy like a fucking ancient lady. Like, right? Like
who's old?
Up... Yeah.
Whatever.
Your Jeopardy on YouTube.
Fucking love Jeopardy.
Did your granddaughter show you that link?
Get off my dick.
Number four is the rugged individualist. Ooh, that sounds like a movie starring Matthew McConaughey.
Sure does.
These sufferers feel as though asking for help reveals their phoniness.
Ooh.
It's okay to be independent, but not to the extent that you refuse assistance so that you can prove your worth. Yikes.
Shit.
You have to do everything by yourself.
Shit. This is a tough episode for me
intense.
To be doing live in front of people.
I don't know
I
how
feel
you
like
guys,
I need some me time after
I know.
This.
I don't know how you guys feel about this. We're getting a lot out of it. Number five is the expert. People who fall into this may feel like they somehow tricked their employer into hiring them. They deeply fear being exposed as inexperienced or unknowledgeable.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you shudder when someone says you're an expert? That's a question to ask yourself. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, I think that's all of us.
Wow. That's
like the most basic type, I feel.
Okay, is that all five?
That's all five.
Which one do you guys identify with the most out of those?
Perfectionist.
The perfectionist and the expert, I think.
I do the work one. What was the work? Overworking?
Oh, the addicted to the
I think
workaholic.
That was the number two.
What was that called?
The workaholic.
I need to research
superwoman?
This.
Superwoman?
Superwoman.
Yes.
Dude, I do that all the time. I will put in extra effort to sometimes unnecessary tasks just to feel like I'm pulling my weight or like I'm worthy. Even in like my day jobs and stuff, and I'm like, if I'm like, oh, I have to leave, you know, for a couple hours to like make this meeting, I would come back to work and just like stay late just to finish things or just like to be there because I didn't feel like I could just leave early for the
day. Yeah,
like you didn't deserve it.
Yeah, overcompensating. Like, why can't I just take a fucking half day?
Yeah,
like people do that shit all the time.
Yeah,
but I'm like, even nobody was even there to watch me overcompensate.
Just for you.
It was a mental thing.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wow. Gosh.
Gross.
This is
real bummer to find that out.
This is a real bummer. Holy crap.
Do we want to open it up to questions?
Yeah. I mean,
questions about
anything.
Do you guys
have any questions for us about podcasting or self-help or anything?
Yeah. My fake boobs, perhaps?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, of all the episodes we've done, what trick have we learned that has helped us the most?
I've got one.
Yeah.
This is more on like a technical end, but we found that when we started naming our episodes just one word, and it was like a very searchable word, that our downloads started to grow a lot. Sometimes podcasts, a lot of times if they're like comedy podcasts, they'll try and do some like funny long title that's an inside joke about what happened in that episode, but nobody's fucking searching for like Randy's weird mustache dildo, whatever. Like,
they should be.
They should.
Taylor is.
Yeah.
It's a great episode. I highly recommend it.
But our episodes that are titled like anxiety and self-image and stuff like that, we found that a lot of people just go to iTunes, search that because they're looking for a podcast that talks about it, and then get people come join our Facebook group. They're like, oh, we found you through search and anxiety. So that's a trick for you guys. I feel like it's a good way to streamline things and open your podcast up to new listeners.
Absolutely. And you know what? We don't really do this very often, but we did find the couple times we did is kind of staying on trend to what's being talked about in the moment. If you can come up, like we came up with a Me Too episode around that time. I think that ended up doing really well. We just wanted to talk about it, but it ended up getting quite a few hits, I think, just because of that. And a couple other things. So if you can kind of put something together quickly about what's already out there being discussed, I think that can only help also.
Yeah, topical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
The question was, when were, this is the trick I've learned, is that if you're doing a podcast and people are off mic, you repeat the question.
There you go, girl.
professional.
Professional. Yeah. The question was, how long have we been, when did we get into self-help? When we were younger, have we always been that way? Our first episode of the podcast, if you want to go back that far and listen to two of us share a microphone.
Real sexy.
Yeah, speaking of professional.
Real early on. Only happened once. And I think we were all in the same boat where we had been, you know, interested in different areas of self-help since we were kids. Like, I think we talked about our first self-help books we ever read on the first episode.
Yeah.
And like, you know, mine was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. Most of you might be familiar with 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but my dad didn't buy me that one because I was 12 and he was afraid there might be sex in it.
Yeah. Taylor had a lot of friends growing up.
I had a lot of friends.
Super popular.
A lot of friends. They were all stuffed, but they were my friends. And then Delaney, what was yours, Delaney?
Mine was, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken.
Solid.
And I read that when I was 19 after getting cheated on by a real fucker. I was kind of into self-help before that because my mom was super into it. So I kind of grew up around just thinking, this is normal. This is what you do when you're having a shitty time. You go to Barnes & Noble and you pick out a book.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah.
And then mine was a feng shui book. My mom was also super into self-help. And I was at a low point. I was looking for my first boyfriend. And I just was like, okay, I thought this was all horseshit, but I'm going to give this book a try. So I think the book is called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, which I highly recommend. It's kind of like feng shui for dummies. It's really simple stuff, but I do still to this day feel like if your living space feels good and generally like is kind of clean and has images of things that you're striving for, you'll feel better when you're in there. So we all had like self-help backgrounds in different areas, and then we came together and we were like, oh, there's so much more to learn, and we're really interested in, as type A people, just like always bettering ourselves.
Yeah.
And
never stops.
Never stopping.
Never
being perfectionists. So that's where that came from. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
Ooh, that's
since
a
we
great
have,
question. How do we fit
if anyone else
podcasting?
Yeah, you say it.
I picked up your trick, Taylor.
You did.
Learning shit. How do we fit podcasting into our schedules? Because, it is a job in itself trying to get us all in the same room at the same time.
Yeah.
They're touring comedians, so their schedules are batshit crazy. And then I had a day job up until recently. So it's going to get better.
Till the dicks took off.
Till the dicks took off, you guys. My dick business took off, and I got to quit my job, and they asked me why. And I got to say, because I draw dicks on stuff. Bye.
Deuces.
So, you know, don't give up on your dreams. So it's gonna be a lot easier.
I can't wait till they put you on the cover of Forbes and they have to censor your mug.
Oh my god, the first Forbes cover where it's like the fucking etchy squares, yeah. Oh,
but yeah, it's been really challenging. Would you guys say?
We have Googled calendars that we share, and I have honestly felt like if we were not three very type A people, we would not be able to do this podcast, because coordinating three people's schedules is really, really fucking hard.
And sometimes four with a guest.
Yes.
So. Yeah. And like three overworkers who all have issues with that. So yeah, it's been tough, but it's going to get easier just because I'm going to be more free during the day. So I think we should be able to ease into that a little bit.
Yeah. We bank. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just saying, we bank a lot as well. Yes. So we will sit down. Yeah. We will record 3-4 episodes at a time. If we look at the calendar and know, hey, we're not going to be able to get together for another 3 weeks. So that's a little trick, I guess.
Right. Yeah, that's a great trick. Exactly. I mean, like Kelsey was saying, you got to find people. If you're going to do a podcast with other people, you really need to find people who work the same as you do, because, I mean, we're all very, like she said, type A and very, like, let's get it done. And they still make me feel like a piece of shit.
As far, oh,
not on purpose, by comparison for me. It's from me. That sounded bad. But, like, I look at how hard they work on stuff and I go, oh my gosh, I got to, like, keep up and make sure I'm also contributing and I'm on top of things. Because we really do have plans for the podcast to be something that is big enough to where we can stay in town more. Right. Because, you know, we've been comedians much longer than we've been podcasting, and that's been our main source of income. And so now, as great as the podcast is doing, it's still not the main source to where we can say, like, no more touring, no more traveling.
Right.
So we are taking steps to, if you're going to do a podcast, you have to kind of say, like, how much of my life do I want this podcast to be? Because some people do it as a hobby, and some people want it to be their career, and if you want it to be part of your career, you have to treat it like a job.
It's like a marriage. Yeah. It really is. It's like, I'm sure Anna and Sim feel the same way. It's like you are in a relationship, I mean, personal and professional, all of us. Like, we've really shat where we ate at this point, you know? And luckily, everybody gets along super well. We're all very similar, but it's a big commitment, and you want to make sure, like, definitely vet your people before you start a project like this. 100%.
Take their temperature on, like, if they are equally as passionate about starting a podcast as you are. Because I've seen it happen with other friends of ours where, like, one person's like, yeah, man, let's fucking do it. And I got my friend and he seems into it. And, like, within 6 months, that other person that really wasn't as into it is like, hey, man, I can't do this anymore. And then they just wasted 6 months on a podcast that now dies. Like, I'd love to know the statistics on podcasts that just are in the fucking graveyard of iTunes that are dead, because I think that happens pretty often. So, like, if you're going to do it, really do it.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it. Whole ass it.
Any other questions?
Sorry.
Ooh.
Sorry. And then we got to ask Sim first.
Yeah. We want extra credit, too.
We don't want you to fail.
I think what you're trying... No, I'm kidding.
But it must have taken a while before you discovered each other and how you guys actually talk to each other.
That's such a good question.
That's a nice compliment.
Thank you. How do we learn to not talk... I feel like this sounds
How do
cocky.
We learn to not talk over each other and adjust to each other's rhythms?
Right. I feel like from episode one, it's never been an issue, but we also had a relationship before we started the podcast. We had worked on another project together and kind of got to know each other pretty well that way.
Yeah. I feel also, I mean, maybe it's like being three, like, well-mannered women.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to be, like, stereotype, but I do hear a lot of, like, on male comedy podcasts where guys are just looking to, like, get their rocks off and, like, get their comedy coming and just... like, don't care if it's in the middle of what somebody's saying. They're like, but I got a funny tag to say, and I'm going to fucking shout it. And then you'll get, like, four dudes doing that at once, and it's a mess. So I feel like we all have confidence that, like, hey, if we've got a funny thing, it'll come out at the right moment.
Yeah.
And, like, we're good, I feel like basketball terms, like, we like to assist one another. We don't mind, like, letting the other person fucking score or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you come first, I'll get myself off later.
Yeah,
exactly. Independent women.
Yeah, and I think we're ultra aware. Like, I'm very aware, like, I have been talking a lot, I need to shut the fuck up, and they probably have shit to say. So I think we're also very self-aware and kind of take turns that way. Right. But that's how we are in just a normal conversation too.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I'm going to talk to Taylor now, and then I'm going to talk to Kelsey. And you know?
One of my biggest personal pet peeves is when somebody takes up like too much of the pie chart in a conversation where you're like, how are you not aware that you have talked for like 85% of this conversation? Makes me fucking insane. So especially in like a professional setting where we're podcasting, I feel like, yeah, we're so hyper aware of, okay, does everybody have 33.33% of this fucking pie? Cool.
Right, right. But yeah, yeah.
And what was your question?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, these questions are fucking great.
These are great questions. We should have done this the whole time.
Yeah, asked if there is ever a time where we feel like we need to draw a line in the podcast, or if we've ever told a story that we feel like we regretted or went too far with.
Yes and yes, for me. I think I am quite an oversharer. I mean, we all are, but I have gotten in some weird stuff that I haven't even like told other humans about that have led to uncomfortable conversations in my real life. Like I talked about, on our Me Too episodes, I talked about like getting like fingered while I was like unconscious by somebody and stuff like that. And I ended up having to confront somebody about that story who figured it out on like the podcast. I was not planning to talk about it with this person ever. Wow. And she figured it out. And I just had to like have this face-to-face or conversation. And I feel like I'm always toying the line between wanting to be really honest, but not wanting to A, hurt anybody's feelings in my personal life, or having a conversation that I don't want to have. I think that's been an interesting, weird kind of boundary that I've tried to set. Sometimes I still overshare, but there's certain things that I won't really talk about if I don't want to have like a weird fucking Thanksgiving dinner with my mom. You know, I'm going to keep that shit in, or talk about it on the Patreon, because that's where it's a smaller group of people who, you know, pay a monthly subscription to hear a little bit more personal podcast.
We'll say anything for $5 a month.
Have you guys felt that way?
Yeah. I feel like I had the reverse feeling recently where on the Patreon, I'll fucking tell you guys, who cares? I'm at a point where I don't even care. But I told the girls that I have irritable bowel syndrome, and my fiance was in the bathroom when I needed to go, and I ended up having to poop in a box in my living room. And
she didn't have to. She did it, though.
I had to. It was coming. What do you want from me? And as I was saying it, I was like, I kind of can't believe I'm saying this. But we had so many people like on our Facebook group posting like, oh my God, I'm so glad you told that story. That made me feel so much better about a time where like I had a shit in a bag on the side of the highway or whatever. You know, everybody's got like their weird location shit stories. And it like, it made me feel, I always feel that way where it's like that thing that you're afraid to talk about that you think is maybe like an embarrassing bodily function thing, it so connects you to other people, and other people like feel happy that you shared it. So then now it's something it's a joke I do on stage now. I've been doing for the last month. And so I like that feeling on the podcast where I'm like, should I, shouldn't I? Because usually in my experience for me, it's been a good thing that I shared it, and it makes me feel better. So
yeah. And I mean, it is tough, and it's something you got to ask yourself if you're going to be in podcasting or entertainment at all. Like, I mean, I've had jokes that members of my family did not like and took issue with me doing on television or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the podcast is, I mean, I have very conservative parents, and if they ever figure out what a podcast is, I am so screwed. Like, yeah. But I've just kind of had to accept it. Once we started doing this podcast, I think in the beginning, I think I even asked you guys, like, so do you think we should swear? Or you guys were like, yeah, we're going to swear.
Yeah, what?
So I mean, I was still kind of holding on to that, like, oh, but everything I put out has to be pretty clean so that even if my dad sees it, he won't hate me. And the thing about growing up is that you just have to accept, like, your family is not going to approve of everything. But again, they also don't know what a podcast is. So unless you have, like, real dope parents who are very savvy and have a long commute, it shouldn't be an issue. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Great
questions.
I feel
like we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah. That's probably it.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. This was so fun.
Really fun.
Aww, awesome. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yay. I don't know who to hand these to. Sam? You? Anyone? You're dismissed. I don't know. That's not my call. Oh, we love you guys so much. To continue to support Self Helpless Podcast, go to selfhelplesspodcast.com for anything and everything you could want. We have our links to Patreon, merch, our individual websites, our Facebook group, Amazon link, full episodes, also our contact for our P.O. box and email. And you can follow Self Helpless Podcast on Instagram, as well as us individually. I am at T-Tom Comedy or Taylor Tomlinson, depending on if you're on Instagram or Twitter, ttomcomedy.com.
And I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
And I'm at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dicks by Delaney for some good old-fashioned dick stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Perfect. And you can also follow Self Helpless on Facebook.
Great. Yay.
Thanks, guys.
Yay,
we love you.
Why won't it let me be?